Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
We at Good Cop, Bad Cop are very sad to report the loss of Road Warrior Animal at the age of 60 years old. A member of the legendary Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom. I mean, it goes without saying, he's one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time. Him and Hawk, iconic is the word people use to describe him. Game changers. I mean, looking at teams like The Ascension, they even modelled themselves on Legion of Doom to try and get over. But one thing that they didn't have was what Animal and Hawk had. Animal, before he retired in 2014, he's given so much to his business. Myself and my co-host for this show today, we'll be talking about him later on in the episode. So there'll be much more to say about Road Warrior today. So on behalf of us all, rest in peace, Animal. Oh, what a rush. Okay, guys, it's episode 108 of Good Cop, Bad Cop. Last 2 weeks, I've had two amazing guests, and I thought no one person would actually be good enough to step into Graham's shoes to compare to those two people. So I've got, well, I would say the premier podcast, which is not on Vision Global Media, which is the Badlands team. I am joined by the phenomenal Paul Tolley.
Thank you very much. He never gives me an intro like that.
And I'm also joined by the Podfather himself, the first ever repeat guest host in Good Cop, Bad Cop history, Mr. Darren Mags Kirkby.
You are more than welcome to have me here. I'm a great guest to have. Just like I've just said on Badlands, I'm great. And I've brought Paul along with me, which is amazing.
I don't go anywhere without him.
Yeah, I'm his agent. I'm confirming that. Not like he said on Five Nerds. He's not my agent. Yes, I am. You come through me to book him.
You're my comfort blanket, not my agent.
Your comfort blanket is brilliant.
And the best part about it is I botched my own intro up because it's episode 109, not 108. So I'm going to leave that in, and we are going to say, but maybe we should keep the good train rolling by saying, let's go to some good cop moments first.
Good! Bad!
Right then, okay. With good cop moments in mind, I let the guests go first. Paul, what's your good cop moment of the week, your favourite one?
Good!
My favourite one was Tozawa got devoured. This is where R-Truth took his 24/7 title to the beach. I believe he wanted to teach little Jimmy how to swim, and Akira Tozawa tracked him there and went into the ocean to wait for R-Truth. And obviously R-Truth arrived, and there was a few waves that caused a bit of a kerfuffle. It took R-Truth's 24/7 title away, but thankfully little Jimmy saved it. He swam into the ocean and bravely saved it, brought it back. But poor Akira Tozawa appears to have been eaten by a shark. and only his shirt returned. And this was just, as usual of R-Truth, for me, this was just comedy gold and exactly the kind of fun nonsense I like it when WWE does. And R-Truth packed so many funny lines into that 2 minutes that it was brilliant. Really humoured me.
It was bizarre. It was ridiculous. I loved it.
It was great, wasn't it?
Absolutely brilliant. Max, what's your good cop moment of the week?
Well, seeing as I don't really watch Raw or SmackDown, and like I said in the pre-intro, I winged this show. My good moment is coming from NXT.
Go for it.
And it's the kind of breakout of one of the most probably underrated stars of NXT, and Kyle O'Reilly, seen as pretty much the understudy to Adam Cole, the kind of comedy foil in Undisputed Era. Obviously, he's amazing at air guitars, winning that guy's a title. He absolutely owns it. But he is looking like he's getting a push now as a kind of a single star. Obviously, we know him more as part of the tag team with Bobby Fish. But yeah, looks like he's going to be facing Tommaso Ciampa in the near future.
That's huge.
Yeah, a great step up from being essentially a tag team wrestler to wrestling one of the top four wrestlers in the company. It'll be a good kind of a foil for Tommaso, who's always that really serious and kind of that. It's just emotionless a lot of the time, and to see Kyle O'Reilly's comedy play off that, I think it's going to be a great few before Tommaso moves on to bigger and better things with pushing into the title picture again. But yeah, it was good to see Kyle O'Reilly kind of getting a little bit of a singles push, a very well deserved one. This is a guy who's been a Ring of Honor world champion, so it's good to see him kind of getting that recognition for his singles work in the WWE system. So yeah, my good cop moment is Kyle O'Reilly and his mini singles push.
Excellent. I'll be very much deserving of it. Mm-hmm. I had a few things I could choose between. What I'm going with though is Bayley and Sasha. It's really starting to find, now they pull the trigger on it, it's really good. We don't know when it's going to go down. I'm inclined to think Survivor Series, probably. But I think they could build it right through WrestleMania. I haven't seen a women's rival like this in a long time. And I want to see Bayley get her ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Where do you get them down on that? Where do you think it could go down?
I think it's a Mania match for me. It can't not. This has been the biggest feud in the last 6 months. It's really boiled over for the last 6 years from the Iron Woman match in NXT. I think anything short of a WrestleMania match is doing this match a disservice.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a WrestleMania match. There's ways of having them clash but not clash between them, and now they can do the triple threat Survivor Series with an NXT woman again. Obviously Royal Rumble is an easy place to clash in amongst the 30 entrants there, so I think they've got enough events with kind of special stipulations to keep them apart one-on-one until WrestleMania.
I think that Royal Rumble is the perfect way to set it up as well. If you have Sasha winning that Royal Rumble and challenging Bayley for the match at WrestleMania, it writes itself almost. It's the getting to Royal Rumble though that may be the issue. Obviously, we're still 3-4 months away from Royal Rumble. Maybe it's going to be a case of one of them gets traded. I would assume it'd be Sasha no belts. But the struggle then will be keeping that feud bubbling over rather than it losing the heat that it's got.
See, I was thinking when they were backstage, obviously, I was expecting her to actually do the whole share on the neck to Sasha. That to put her out until she returned at the Rumble. Mm-hmm. But they stopped her from doing that. So maybe she'll actually get to go through with it this week on SmackDown.
Perhaps.
Because obviously Nikki Cross is having her 55th title shot against Bayley at Clash of Champions. So we expect Bayley to retain there because Nikki's long term is Alexa Bliss, obviously. Which I'll go to in a minute, I think is some of the best stuff as well right now. Alexa Bliss is doing great work. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Right now, for me, this thing of the week has been Bayley and Sasha building quite nicely. Right, so we move on to the speed check. You both get a minute each. Paul, what else you got good cop wise? You have roughly a minute.
Okay. It's tournament league season in Japan, and by quirk of kind of the Olympics that never happened and coronavirus, all three of the big tournaments happened at the same time: the G1 in New Japan, the N1 in Pro Wrestling Noah, and Champion Carnival in All Japan. So there's just so much good wrestling going on in Japan at the moment. And my second good cop thing is Sami Zayn appearing on a podcast that I absolutely love, the Blind Boy podcast. It's basically, no offense to you two guys, because I know you own most of the podcast market between you, but it's basically my favorite podcast. And he's got a guy from Ireland who talks about mental health, talks about history, art, music, all sorts of stuff. And Sami Zayn was on it this week as a guest, and it was absolutely brilliant. I recommend anyone listen to it.
Excellent, excellent. And that was just under a minute. Well played, sir. Well,
thank you very much.
Go right, Mags, have you got anything for your speed check?
The best news that I've heard this week, the news that kind of really made me smile, was the fact that Jeff Hardy has signed another long-term deal with WWE. It was rumored that he would be out following his brother to AEW, but WWE have always seen kind of more in Jeff than they have in Matt. And he's signed a long-term deal. He's obviously thick in the Intercontinental title scene now, and hopefully this deal and the fact that he's tied down means he'll get maybe at least one last push to be the face of the company. He's always kind of had that charisma. But the thing that kind of made me smile the most about it is the caveat that he put onto signing the contract, that he would only sign if he was allowed to use his original theme music of No More Words, which the Hardy Boys music is absolutely amazing. Don't get me wrong, but Jeff Hardy's No More Words soundtrack is perfect for him, and yeah, I was so glad that he's nailed down for a long term contract, especially after the kind of rough year he's had in terms of problems with substance abuse, and then the whole storyline with Sheamus. It was a nice feel good moment.
Absolutely, No More Words is a song that I absolutely adore. Aren't they holding it reserved till they've got fans back in properly, though?
Yeah, I believe that's the case. But he made it like a caveat of the signing the contract that when the fans are there, he can come out to that music.
That was phenomenal music. It really, really was. Right. I'm going to rattle through my speech as fast as I can. Grab apologies in advance because it might be a minute. Right. Okay, as Mag alluded to, the IC title triangle is intriguing and exactly what I hoped for when Sami Zayn went on a hiatus with the title in hand. Big E's intensity this week, loved it. Want to see more of this from Big E. As alluded to, Alexa Bliss is doing some of the best character work in the business right now. She is fully embracing this new fiend-inspired gimmick. Love it so much. Aaliyah Mysterio is going to be a disciple, not a romance angle. Thank goodness for that. We did not need that creeps on the internet going all over that. And the last thing is MGB Wrestling Podcast new format. Loving it. The short format. Loving the watch-long theme. Absolutely adored it. Graham and Mason, good job. Right, guys, as you all know, that you can get 30 days free with the code GOODCOPBADCOP on powerslam.tv. However, don't forget there is an app you can get from both the iOS and the Google Play stores. However, to get the code, you must go onto the website to use it. Otherwise, you will not get the discount. Once you've done that, go back to the app and you can watch your heart's content. 30 days free, code GOODCOPBADCOP. Right, we've been through the good. Unfortunately, that means there's usually bad.
Bad!
Mix it up this time. Mags, bad cop.
Oh, how did I know you would come to me? Because you knew I was unprepared.
Because you are always miserable, sir.
That, I'd take offence to that.
Take the whole garden gate, mate, by all means.
No, I have got a bad moment, and it's a shame, actually, because it was probably one of the more interesting storylines that WWE have come up with in the very recent past. It's the Retribution storyline, and not specifically the storyline, but the fact that they've now named and kind of changed the look of some of the characters. They revealed three character names. Slapjack.
Yeah.
T-Bar. And Mace. Yeah. And yeah, it just...
I remind you, this is a PG podcast, Mags, and we cannot, for good decency reasons, reveal what Slapjack actually means.
Yeah. For anyone listening, definitely go and look it up on Urban Dictionary, because... It's Vince McMahon has definitely not read the room with what Slapjack means. Yeah, so the naming is horrific. The fact that they've changed the masks to look like a Bane cosplayers. The fact that the whole kind of storyline was based around these people wanting to bring down the WWE universe because they were feeling kind of overlooked and underutilized, and they've now signed contracts. It just stinks of booking by the seat of your pants. And yeah, it's took what could have been a very interesting storyline and ruined it for me.
There's still a chance to redeem Retribution, as it were. But
I mean, the good thing is that the talent are the people who are playing the characters are amazingly talented. Me and Yibbs, obviously, you guys know, is one of my favourite wrestlers. So I've got confidence that they can pull it off. But the backstage rumours is that everybody was laughing at it. That people think that this is going to be buried. That the talent have been kind of like shit on with this gimmick. It's not a good start to what could have been an interesting storyline.
And the thing is that obviously Dio Madden, Dijakovic, and Shane Vaughn, of course. All the three who we know who they are now, of course, all of them have legit reasons to be upset with WWE brass. They've all got legit reasons to look for retribution. So, you know, it makes sense for them all to be in that group, obviously, because Dio Madden obviously was kicked off of the Raw commentary team. Dijakovic continued overlooked for moving up to the main roster. And Shane Vaughn, well, he was forgotten about while his partner moved up.
It's definitely salvageable. If the motivations are there and are strong, like you've just described there, if the leader turns out to be someone really interesting, and I think they're missing a trick. They could do some really cool visuals with the Thunderdome, with kind of everyone, all of the screens being replaced with Retribution members and stuff like that. I think they're still definitely salvageable. So it could still be brilliant. But yeah, it is flagging a little bit, and the as you said, the reveal, the new imagery this week, I'm not a fan of that either, and not the names even, though you've revealed what they mean.
Yes, the fact that there's still more and more people seemingly joining this group, it seems, by the week, and the fact that the internet still thinks CM Punk's behind it all, which would be amazing and terrible at the same time. I don't know, but Paul, what's your bad cop moment of the week?
My bad cop moment is logical, but it's a bad cop moment because I love Mickey James. And we had last week, Mickey James had a title shot against Asuka and lost it in kind of controversial circumstances, which she didn't tap. And then this week, she had a number one contenders match against Zelina Vega, which is, again, is one of my bugbears, because I have a bit of an issue where there's big difference in body size, and to the point where it doesn't look believable. And for me, it didn't look believable that Zelina Vega would beat Mickey James. Mickey James looks so much more powerful and stronger, but yet she lost. And I just want to see Mickey James win the title again. I'd like to see her and Nick Aldis be the be the first man and woman of wrestling. And she's had a fantastic career, and I think she deserves another run. So I was disappointed she lost that number one contendership to Zelina Vega, but hopefully it's going somewhere. I mean, she's back on screens again, which is great. You have to believe that loss to Asuka, the way it happened, must have happened for a reason. So I've got my fingers crossed, but right now I'm disappointed as a Mickie James fan that she's not the champion or the number one contender.
Mickie James has a Hall of Fame career. I do get
definitely.
I get your point of view there, Paul. Absolutely. I've got some of your little bits and pieces. My main one of the week though for me is Raw Underground. It was not the fact that we saw Braun Strowman versus Dabba Kato. It's the fact that Braun Strowman knocked Dabba Kato out in about 5 seconds.
Yeah. It was such a bad move.
I'm like, Dabba Kato now has lost everything they built up about him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Braun Strowman, who was already billed as the monster among men, let's face it. Now, if Kato had knocked Strowman out, bang. So that's a game changer right there. Dabba Kato, I don't get it.
Yeah, what's the purpose? What does anyone get out of that?
The purpose of Raw Underground altogether? They still haven't kind of cleared up what the point of it is.
says the UFC fan. This is why he's bitch about it.
No, I mean, I think it's entertaining to watch, but I don't get what it's for. It seems so jarring compared to what we normally would watch as professional wrestling.
I understand that. Like the first, when it launched, I was really interested. I thought actually that's a really cool kind of gimmick to go for.
Was it because of the sexy dancing girls?
Yeah, that helped obviously. But no, it was an interesting. It was interesting, but I agree with Darren here that
it's gone nowhere.
It hasn't gone anywhere, and what's the point? Yeah. And the only point I could see is if somehow it's linked to Retribution. That again, that would make it make sense and tie it up. But as it is, I don't understand its purpose.
The only place they haven't been so far.
Yeah.
So potential there. Right, okay. Let's go through some speed check then. Mags, you got your check back up for me?
Yeah, my bad cop is the news that dropped pretty recently about Lance Archer testing positive for coronavirus. It's for all the grief that WWE got for their testing policy and for all the kind of plaudits AEW got for how they were testing, even though they were essentially doing pretty much the same thing, AEW were, in fact, I'd say arguably worse because they hop from state to state to avoid any kind of regulations on testing. And they waited until WWE had been the fall guy in Florida to then kind of mosey on in and start booking shows. Then there was also the crowds where they were all meant to be seated separately. And then there was the pictures of them all gathered together. And then WWE obviously had the kind of influx in the performance center where people got contracted the virus, and now weeks later Archer, who's currently the number one contender for John Moxley's AEW title, has now got a coronavirus. It's just a sad state of affairs that wrestling is still dealing with this issue and kind of brushing it under the carpet. I'm still in the mind frame of that wrestling needs to stop because we're not beating this virus.
Yeah, us in the UK have experienced that all too much this week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Paul, what's your speed check, sir?
Yeah, mine's on similar vein to Darren, but I guess the opposite. In that, it's been announced this week, but by the government that I guess wrestling in Britain it will continue to have stopped until until maybe March, April next year. Certainly within minutes of his announcement, I had an email from Rev Pro because I got a ticket to one of their shows, which has now been delayed until April 2021. And while I think it's absolutely the right decision to take, and I don't argue that at all, it's just very, very disappointing, and just continues to be kind of a rude awakening to the position we're in. And I just fear what this will be a year without paying customers for every company, every wrestling company in Britain, and the damage that's going to do, and what's going to be left behind, and wrestlers' livelihoods that are going to be left behind. It's scary to think of, really, and I think that's really disappointing.
Absolutely. You can find me arguing that one. So, unfortunately, it's the part where my speed check becomes a little bit more trivial. Right. First of all, I never knew I didn't want to see Miz in his underwear. Now I know I do not want to see him in his underwear ever again. Reigns spearing Sheamus through the barricade. I've seen it so many times now, it's getting ridiculous. And I'm like, is that just now your signature move? WWE's top 10 had the RKO or McIntyre number one on Raw. I'm like, no, that wasn't the best thing on Raw this week. It was good, but it wasn't the best part. On MGB, Graham couldn't tell the difference between Mario and Sonic rings and coins, really? It's not even, this is rudimentary stuff. Everyone knows this, Graham, even you. And the other bad thing is it's been a year since we had the last Juice Melt and Notice Cooking, Paul. When's the next one?
I know. I need to get back in the kitchen and put some out soon.
I agree with that.
Soon.
Definitely needs to happen.
We miss
although,
that.
Although there is talk of him being in a Pokemon based podcast very, very soon.
What?
What? Rumors spread fast.
Yeah.
Do you want to come
Dave Meltzer reported.
What was that, Matt?
You can always come and get Game Junk. You talk Pokemon. You can if you want.
I could. I don't know loads about Pokemon, to be honest, but I'd always welcome an invite.
Mags has got an open invite when he's coming on Game Junkies anytime he wants. Anytime he wants.
Look, don't try and butter me up now. You're trying to butt Paul without coming through his agent.
I'm sorry, but Declan's not available this week.
I'll get back in the kitchen for you soon. It cost me a lot in post-it notes, because I have post-it notes all over the kitchen with my notes. And
get an iPad.
Fit point.
Scroll. Easier.
Good. Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Good. Bad. Right, we've looked at the good. We've looked at the bad. Some unshort moments.
Unshort?
Paul, what are you unshort about this week?
Unshort?
It's a Jackson thing.
Oh,
carry on. He can't. When we asked him to do the unsure, he said unshorts, and we left it in.
Oh dear, I've got my goods and my bads. I haven't got my unshorts.
What are you? What are you not sure? What fits into which section this week?
I guess the Mickey James one. I'm unsure about. Like I said, I see the logic behind it, but I'm just disappointed as a fan. Like Darren said, I'm unsure about Raw Underground and where that's going. I don't really have anything more to throw into unsure, I'm afraid.
That's okay, so that's not a problem.
See, look at him.
No, I tell you what. I'm no good off going off the cuff. I tell you what I am unsure about. I saw something on WWE's YouTube today, which was Alexa Bliss has a new program on there, or a new podcast, I think, called Uncool. I think it's called Uncool.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm unsure about that because I think it's quite cool for to look back at wrestlers and kind of when they're younger and teenagers and seeing they weren't always kind of superstars and polished and you know they have hang-ups and issues to deal with themselves when they're younger. I can see that's a very strong inspirational message for kind of teenagers and kids watching. But at the same time, I'm thinking the usual kind of kayfabe debate. Do I really want to see wrestlers like that? And to have those kind of insecurities and to see them as real people. So I'm unsure about that. But I'm always unsure about issues of kayfabe. Like I'm not a big fan of WWE behind the scenes documentaries like that.
Okay.
I'm old fashioned at heart.
That is a good take, though, Paul. I like that little twist on it. Very good, sir. Yeah. Max, on shorts.
Yeah, for me, it. I don't know if it even fits in the category of unsure, but I think it's something that affected me today. Definitely, it's the unfortunate passing of Road Warrior Animal. It really. I didn't think that. I'm normally kind of like a very almost hard-hearted when it comes to stuff like this. It doesn't affect me that much, but this really does. Because the Legion of Doom were my boys from starting to watch wrestling, and the fact that the last bastion of the Raw Warriors has passed away it takes away that kind of that link to my past of watching wrestling. I used to watch wrestling with my gran and pretty much all the wrestlers who we were into. Have passed away, and it's just sheds a light on how sad the wrestling world can be when these guys die so young. Now it's not been confirmed exactly what he died of, but to pass away at 60 years old, it's no age. It really, really isn't. He had so much more to give, and yeah, it just really affected me quite deeply, really, for a wrestler passing. So yeah, that would be my unsure moment. It's the passing of Road Warrior Animal.
It was very sad. Well, I heard about that maybe about an hour before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I was talking to Chris about it, and I was saying about how badass they were. I mean, they rode to the ring on motorcycles at Wembley Stadium, SummerSlam. One of the most iconic scenes and entrances you'll ever see in the business. I've got to admit, I had a little tear in my eye. It's obviously a very bad cop moment because he passed away, but a good cop moment because, you know, you remember
all the memories. Yeah.
All the great memories. So it perfectly fits in the unsure category. So perfectly does, absolutely. Paul, do you remember yourself of Legion of Doom?
Yeah, well, I'm taking in it. Taken in shock a little bit because I wasn't aware of the news.
Sorry to break it to you.
No, thank you for breaking it to me. I've been kind of avoiding Twitter a little bit recently, so I probably wouldn't have seen it. One of my greatest memories of Legion of Doom is they were my second favorite action figures. Because the shoulder pads were so cool. First favorite was Doink the Clown because he had real hair.
and he stared through a window at CM Punk sleeping in the bed.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, Legion of Doom, right, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, and just their icons, and the imagery of them, like you said, the motorcycles at SummerSlam, the shoulder pads, the Doomsday device, the imagery of Legion of Doom is iconic.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, the last match they had on TV together was against RVD and Kane, and that was ironically the first match I saw them compete in.
Really?
Well, yeah, because I'd obviously heard of Legion of Doom, but back then we didn't have a network in 2003, of course, and didn't have access to the videos and DVDs. So the first one I watched was the last one I watched, and I was still really, really impressed.
And that's a statement, because that was literally the back end of the career when there was arguably the worst in terms of in ring.
And they were still, and they still could go, even mm-hmm. even though, and the Animal kept going after Hawk passed away in 03. Yeah. Had a poor reunion of the LOD with Heidenreich, of course. Didn't really work out there.
Unless we forget Droz.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Puke.
It was, yeah. And, of course, Sonny managed him for a while as well. And, of course, Paul Ellering, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, rightly inducted the Hall of Fame in 2011. Way too late, in my opinion. Should have been years before that. But so, obviously, we obviously send all of our thoughts to the Laurinaitis family, obviously. Unfortunately, my unsure moment is a little bit more trivial, but still a case for it here. Obviously, this coming Sunday is Clash of Champions, of course. Is it the most predictable finish for the Roman Reigns-Jey Uso match? Or is it going to be the upset of the century?
I don't think in any kind of planet or any kind of world we see a Jey Uso as world champion. I still think we're going to get shenanigans.
I dare say we are, but something just... I'm like, this is a weird one to go with. Because there's no way Jey Uso is going to lay down for Roman in terms of storyline, because I embrace the kayfabe still. But same time, Roman, apparently, although we all see him as heel, apparently they actually piped out the booze again this week.
Interesting. I think WWE still see the fact that he sells so much merchandise that he's a tweener. I think that they want to play off kind of both sides of the fan base.
Do they not know that heels sell T-shirts as well? Triple H sold lots of T-shirts for a long, long period of time as the most despicable heel in the company.
Mm-hmm. He did. For a long time, Chris Jericho refused to sell merchandise as a heel.
Yeah.
Said he was against everything being a heel was. He's not bothered by that now. He does. Now he's in the T-shirt company. You can't take that.
Now we'll sell absolutely anything on a T-shirt.
The ironic thing is that one of the best shirts he ever did in WWE was the King of the World shirt when he was a complete colossal jackass.
His best shirt is Jericholic, surely.
Oh, absolutely. That one is brilliant. But King of the World was a great shirt, I'm just saying. Right, do you have any speed check moments?
Well, seeing as I didn't remember, not really.
I've got just one to put to both of you then quickly.
Okay.
Obviously you've talked about Mickie James, Lena Vega briefly, Paul.
Yeah.
The question I have for you though is that backstabber. That backstabber, Lena Vega. I know Mickie James can sell, and she's one of the best sellers in the business.
Yeah.
But that number looked one. Really, really nasty.
Yeah, it did. It was a nice move.
I'm not sure if that was not slightly botched, though, because when Carlito did the backstabber, you know, he landed back first, and it just looked very, very ugly.
I don't know. I think Mickey sold you a kipper there. Well, I think you're right. She's one of the best sellers there is.
If that's the case, then great. But I'm not sure at the moment. So,
she did well to sell the fake injury against the match of Asuka. The ref even thought she was injured.
I won't deny that, but you know, I'm just a bit concerned about that. The other thing I had there was retribution, but we've all discussed that earlier on, so that's fine. Right, this is where we get to take a small break while Graham decides to give you his open agenda. So take it away, sir.
Hey guys, this is my open agenda for my third week out. One of the reasons, or one of the things I said was I wasn't going to be watching as much wrestling because of screen time, really. I look at the screen a lot during the day, and in the evening, it's kind of like the last thing I want to do. I kind of want to give my eyes a rest a little bit. This week, it's not really been because of that. I've just been working really late. Everything's online now. Grading's online, all that stuff. One thing that surprised me, though, is even when I finish late, sort of, I can't immediately just stop. I need to do something different. And when it's late at night, I can't just go outside or throw some discs or do something that I would normally do during the day. So I've kind of gone back. I've kind of gone back and watched just, let me just go watch a little bit of wrestling. The thing that surprised me is I haven't watched WWE at all. I normally sometimes will just watch the 20-minute highlights and that'll get me through. Or at a push, I'll just go and watch the top 10 moments just so I can kind of keep a track of what's going on. I haven't even done that this week. I have been listening to podcasts, so I kind of know what's going on, but I haven't had that desire to go and watch that. I think people know that I'm really an indie fan anyway, but that's kind of surprised me that my go-to thing has actually been, with a limited amount of time this week to watch, has actually been indie. I've watched a couple of things. I went to watch AIW from February. That's the organization up in Cleveland. Guess we've got family up in that area, so we've been there a couple of times. I'm trying to think, the match was Danhausen and Hornswoggle was, I think, the second match on that card. That was pretty cool to watch. I only watched about half an hour of that event, but it was cool to watch some of those people again. And yesterday I actually went back and watched the only organization we've actually reviewed on Good Cop Bad Cop, which was the Riptide organization from Brighton. And Matt and I really enjoyed that first one, and we said we really wanted to watch more. And yeah, we never really did anything about it. We talked about it, so I actually went back and watched one of those. The second episode I actually found on PowerSlam TV, which I'm glad to say we can support again. Those issues have been fixed. Was actually, it was only 30 minutes long, so that was kind of cool. There's a second, the one after that I think was about an hour, and I've only watched about the first half hour of that one. But great match involving Candy Floss. Always fun stuff on the indies. People trying to shove candy into each other's mouth, throwing candy on each other, trying to throw each other onto candy, kind of like the Lego bricks kind of thing. This confirmed for me my love of the indies, and I don't know if this is a coincidence. I hadn't really thought about this when I started recording, but I did notice on Facebook this week it was the third anniversary of Mason and I going to our first indie event, which was Nova Project 3, and it brought back all those good feelings. So yeah, and that's my open agenda this week. I know it's normally non-wrestling related, but I haven't really had time to do anything non-wrestling related, except for talking about school, which I didn't really want to talk about. But yeah, indie wrestling, I'm loving watching. Just not long, 20-30 minutes at a time, and I'm gonna get through events very slowly, but I am cherry picking matches that look kind of interesting when I'm doing it.
Good. At this time, I'd like to give a little shout out to the King of Wrestling podcast, who is the number one source for independent wrestling, and that you can listen to on all major platforms. And don't forget to give them a like on Apple Podcasts, give them a 5-star rating, tell them that Matt and Graham sent you. Good. Okay, so now it's time for me to do something I want to do for a long time. And that's give Paul Tolley and Mags a devil's advocate.
Oh, dear.
So the question I have for you both gentlemen is, who wants to answer the devil's advocate first?
Paul, Darren.
Let's be democratic about this, Paul. I vote Paul.
No, Darren. Definitely Darren.
It's going to be me because Matt... He just hates me anyway because I've got allegedly more podcasts than him. Go on, hit me with it. I'm gonna fail. So
okay, then Darren, your devil's advocate is for 20 seconds. Defend the statement. As the first ever returning guest host of Good Cop Bad Cop, I should stay forever, even when Graham returns.
I think that give it the nail on the head. I'm the greatest guest ever. I'm the greatest person doing picks on Badlands, as I noted on today's recording. I think Graham doesn't really add anything to the show, to be fair, so him going doesn't really mean anything, so you might as well have me in because I've got way more charisma. So vote me. Match that, Tolly.
You're falling out with everyone today.
Okay. That could be me giving the same devil's advocate, but I'm not going to.
Because he's had that extra 20 seconds to prepare.
Exactly. So, Paul, your devil's advocate for you, sir, is New Japan is so last year. The best thing to watch wrestling-wise right now is Miz and Mrs.
Well, it is so last year. New Japan has clearly been ravaged by the coronavirus to the point of it's not entertaining to watch anymore. Whereas Miz and Mrs. Is is just pure entertainment.
That's fun.
I've never seen Miz and Mrs.
I think you did really well there. I could see the struggle in your eyes, but you still kept it going.
I couldn't think of any redeemable features for Miz and Mrs.
There isn't any at all. No. None at all.
I've never watched it. Never once
I've
watched
it. It's okay for any TV shows go.
I don't like reality shows at the best of time. And definitely not WWE best reality shows.
I just spent the last section saying I really didn't like WWE reality shows, and then you made me defend one.
Yep. And I wrote that before the show as well, so you perfectly set me up for it. Okay, gentlemen, have you got one for me?
I've definitely got one, and I'm sure Paul has got one too. Seeing as I was made to go first, you can take mine first. With all the talk of the backlash between Keith Lee and his new ring attire, and then all the talk of Roman Reigns needing to change his ring attire, WWE fans are very much in the right to say that wrestling gear is the most important thing for a wrestler.
Absolutely. When it comes down to it, every single person, when you step between those ropes, when you see that person, you have to believe their character. That's why when Tatanka came to the ring, he had the whole Native American Indian tribe gimmick going. You know, you have to believe from the moment they get in the ring to the moment they get out of the ring that they actually are that gimmick, no matter what they look like.
I hope you were timing that, because I certainly weren't.
I was.
So you're a professional, Matthew. Yeah, you are a professional.
He's good at this, isn't he?
To be fair, it wasn't last week. Foul completely stumped me. Right, okay, so, okay, Tolly, what you got for me?
Yeah. It's all about the demos.
Game demos.
Game demos? 20 seconds of the middle finger.
Would be the first time.
Oh, God. Hashtag pants off for the podcast.
Anyway, Tolly, what you got?
It's all about the demos.
Oh, that is, okay, so
yeah,
okay.
No explanation, just that.
Okay, when it comes down,
that's what you got to
defend. When it comes down to it, the demographic, which is clearly what you look after to defend exactly, you've got to make sure you hit the demographic exactly you're going for. WWE's demographic is clearly aimed at anyone under the age of 10 years old. Otherwise, you're never going to sell off championship belts like that, and one that Max had behind him as well, or one that he's got behind him, which we can't see because of the beautiful background, are all tacky imitations of bad belts in the first place.
I'm never coming on this podcast again. That was a very bad take. I don't agree with that whatsoever.
And I completely strayed from the subject matter as well.
You did replica belts.
I did. So I think I lost that one. No, that one. So, gentlemen.
It was funny. You weren't given much of a topic, to be fair. You did say, yeah, just belts. I don't know, just demo.
It's all about demos.
I'm like, I like game demos, or is that like you said? I do so many different shows. It's hard to tell which one you're talking about.
I do miss game demos, like game demos on a disc. Really miss that.
Talk about on game demos another time, Paul. I promise.
Okay, I'm just trying to get my invite secure.
Invite secured, and so is Mag.
Have you ever played Spyro the Dragon?
I want to thank again Mag and Paul for joining me from the Badlands podcast this week to help get me through another week without Graham. It's been lovely having some good friends on here. It's been great. Have you got your spiel?
Paul, I'll let you go first this time. I'll throw you under the bus.
Well, thanks for inviting us on. You can always tell how much I've enjoyed a podcast by how red I am at the end. And I've gone pretty red here.
Yes.
Might need to have a test. Yeah, we're from the Badlands podcast at Badlands Pod. You can find us on the Chairshot Radio Network at Chairshot Media. We do a podcast looking at basically taking a really positive slant on wrestling and looking at the Mount Rushmores of all sorts of different categories, basically the four best of any given subject that that the guests would give us. We have weekly guests on to help us collate their own Mount Rushmores, and we also, it's also almost like a social experiment where we have an overall collated Mount Rushmore. Every guest tells us their Mount Rushmore, the greatest wrestlers ever, and we for a year and a half have been collating these results. And you can hear that every Thursday on Cheershot Radio.
A fantastic show. I'm very proud to have been on there a couple of times. I'd love to come back another time and do another and chiseled at some point. That's so much fun last time I did that.
We've got something up our sleeve for you.
We've got something new for you.
Oh, heaven help me. Heaven help me. I look forward to it at some point.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, and your individual Twitter handles, you're still Rain Counter, aren't you?
I'm at Rain Counter, yep.
Mags is at DEJ Kirk Bear.
Why do you make me sound like I've had Bell's palsy?
We've had a discussion that you said that everyone that comes from that neck of the woods sounds like that anyway. So I'm actually nailing it, so it's fine.
Wow. I come on shorts to be abused. It's just unfair. It really is.
Now you know how I feel on Badlands.
Yeah. I love you both.
Yeah, I do. The worm has turned.
I love you gentlemen both very, very dearly. Paul, thank you so much for finally making it onto Good Cop, Bad Cop. I appreciate you so much. Mags, can I be back next week? Is that all right with you?
You can bog off, of course, anytime.
Excellent. So yeah, me and Mags will be back here next week.
You lucky people.
Absolutely. We're out of here. Boom.
The music was Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/